Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Muni, Sobhari Muni, he fell down from his position of austerities because he made some offense to Garuda. So Garuda is very, very powerful, both spiritually and materially. In any temple of Vishnu, the tradition is, at the entrance is Garuda Stambha, the pillar where Garuda is sitting and waiting for Lord Vishnu to say, okay, let's go somewhere. He's sitting there. First you should offer your obeisances to Garuda, then only enter the temple. That is the tradition. In our temples we have Prabhupada sitting there, who is the representative of Lord Vishnu. We offer our obeisances to him first. But the traditional system is to have Garuda there. So Garuda is extremely powerful, spiritually and materially. Means he's a confidential associate of the Lord. He can understand what to do in Krishna's pastimes. He's under the protection of the divine energy. Mahatma Nastu Mam Partha Daivin Prakriti Mahashitaha. Those who are great souls, those who are Mahatmas, they are under the shelter of the divine energy of Krishna. Just as the material energy makes everyone in this material world dance like puppets. Ahankara vimudhatma kartahamiti manati. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani samasha. Everyone in this material world is controlled by the material energy of Vishnu, even though they think they're doing everything themselves. So the material energy is simply the shadow potency of the internal potency of Lord Vishnu. Chayeva yasya bhuvanani vibharati durga. Durga, the personification of the material energy, is acting just like the shadow of Lord Vishnu, and her potency acts just like the shadow of the internal potency. So actually almost everyone's in Maya, even in Golok Vrindavan, everyone's in Maya, but not Mahamaya, but Yoga Maya. Maya means that which is not. They think, to have a wrong, an incorrect conception of life. So in this material world, everyone is ignorant of Krishna or envious of Krishna. They don't recognize Krishna's supremacy. So in the spiritual world, in Golok Vrindavan, they also don't recognize Krishna's supremacy. But they're not envious of Krishna. They think that Krishna is my child or my lover. So they're also in Maya. Of course, they always find from Krishna Leela, 10th canto of Bhagavatam, that the residents of Vrindavan, they also knew that Krishna was God, but they didn't, it's just like, he's our son, he's our lover, he's our friend, he's our Krishna. He's also God. That wasn't very important to them. So Garuda, he's one of these great devotees who's, he's not in that kind of mind, that he knows Lord Vishnu is supreme. That is the difference between Vaikuntha Loka and Goloka Vrindavan. In Maya means, not in Mahamaya, in Yoga Maya, means their activities are directed by the Maya potency of the Lord for the expansion of his Leela. That's also called Leela Shakti. Yoga Maya is also called Leela Shakti, the potency by which Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's wonderful pastimes, are performed. So pastimes means not alone. Krishna's not alone, he's with his many, many devotees. And they all have their part to play. Even in Golok Vrindavan, even every blade of grass is a devotee of Krishna. And they all have their part to play in Krishna's pastimes. And when Krishna goes to the pasturing grounds, and he's walking on the soft grass, and the grass is just waiting, and when will Krishna come and step on me? So all are required. The trees, the cows, the flowers, the river Yamuna, they're all devotees. The gopis, the gopas, older gopis, younger gopis, they're all different ages. So they all have their part to play. It's not only Krishna and the gopis. You may say, well, we're only interested in Krishna and gopis. But even the gopis, all their leela, they are also the cowherd boys and the old elderly gopis, they're all required for Krishna's leela. Otherwise, if there's no Jatila and Kutila, if there's no sister-in-law and mother-in-law and Radharani, then how is it going to be fun avoiding them as they try to stop her going to Krishna? and makes the lila more intense. So this is yoga maya, and Garuda is also influenced by that, but not to the extent of the inhabitants of Goloka Vrindavana, because he knows the greatness of Lord Vishnu, but he's also directed by the lila shakti to act in certain ways for the pleasure of the Lord, just like we see here. That without, here it said that Virad Prabhu Chikirshitam, the king of the birds, Garuda, he understood the desire of Lord Vishnu. He didn't have to ask him or wait for an order, but he immediately bound Bali Maharaj. This was for the sake of furthering the lila of the Lord. Otherwise, he also knew that Bali Maharaj is a great devotee. That was already apparent. So why should he do that? Why should he arrest Bali Maharaj? Why should he tie him up with the ropes of Garuda? Further humiliate him. From the external point of view, it appeared that Bali Maharaj was being totally humiliated. There he was, the king of the universe, and he was, yes, Brahmin boy, what do you want? What do you want? 3 steps of land, that's not enough. I'll give you a whole varsha. I'll give you a whole section of the universe. What do you want? No, I shouldn't take too much. Brahmin shouldn't be greedy. We should only take as much as we need. Bali Maharaj was saying, no, you take more. He was in the mood of Ishvara Dhanam Ishvara Bhavastra Kshatriya. His two of his duties. He gives in charity. And here's the feeling. Yes, I'm the controller. Unless you feel I'm the controller, how can you give vastly in charity, perform sacrifices? So he was on top of the world, literally. He had literally gone to the top of the universe and conquered. And then Vamandev took everything away. His friends, family, his associates, all the demons, his guru, all condemned him. They were shocked. He was humiliated. Now to be humiliated more by his order, by Bali Maharaj's order, others could be bound up or released at his desire. He was the independent ruler of the universe. And now he himself was to be bound up. So why should Garuda do such a thing? When the great devotion of Bali Maharaj was already apparent, why should he do that? Is that not a great offense? Vaishnava aparad. We should be very careful to avoid Vaishnava aparad, offenses to devotees. Why did Garuda do that? It seems he shouldn't do that. He should offer his obeisances to Bali Maharaj. What a great devotee you are. You risked everything to give everything. You risked everything to give everything to Lord Vishnu. But he understood the desire of his Lord, who the Lord, Vamandev, in the pretense of cheating and humiliating Bali Maharaj, was actually playing out a very sweet lila with him, in which he was showing to the world how great a devotee Bali Maharaj is. That even in the greatest difficulty, even though he's apparently grossly mistreated by Vamandev, his devotion to him, his allegiance to him does not waver even slightly. He's not in the slightest bit disturbed. This is exemplifying the mood that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught. Ashlashava Pada Tam Pinashtuvam Adarshanam Mama Tam Karotuva Yatata Tava Vidatatuvam Pato Mat Pranatas to Seva Navara. You do what you like with me, Krishna. If you're kind to me or apparently unkind to me, it's all the same. You can do whatever you like to me. You can mistreat me, but I'm not going to give up my devotion to you. It's hopeless. If you try to stop me, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of Radharani is telling Krishna that it's hopeless. That if you want to stop my, there's nothing you can do to stop my devotion to you. However you mistreat me, you can do whatever you like, but I'll never give up my devotion to you. It's not possible. So Bali Maharaj is exemplifying this mood of a devotee. He's willing to accept any kind of punishment or apparent mistreatment from the Lord. He'll never give up his devotion. That is the difference between a real devotee and a pseudo devotee. There are many people who claim that if there's God, then why is he making us suffer? Or they have belief in God, but when they're simply suffering, And they think, what's the use of this belief in God? If God's supreme, then his job is to make me happy. Just like Prabhupada told his godbrother from Germany, Sadananda Prabhu. Ernest Schultz became Sadananda Prabhu. Told him that after the First World War, so many people in Germany became atheists because the mothers, the women, that means the mothers, daughters, sisters and wives, in those days they weren't so demoniac, they didn't send the women to war also. They stayed at home. They would work in the factories and work making the weapons. So they were praying that, God, you send home our husbands, sons, brothers, fathers, but mostly they didn't come home. They all died on the battlefields of Belgium and so many other places. So then the remaining population, they mostly all became atheists. Said, God, we prayed to him. He didn't fulfill our prayer. No use to believe in God. What's God supposed to do? The other side was also praying to him that we will win the war. And the Germans are also praying, let us win the war. Prabhupada explained that there's so many bogus incarnations of God. They say, I'm God. They don't know what a difficult job it is to be God, because the householder is praying, dear God, please make sure that my home is protected. God bless our home. God protect our home. And the thief is also praying, dear God, let me steal very nicely. So it's not such an easy thing to be God. Prabhupada said, even God is perplexed what to do. They're both praying to me. So, this is the position of God, that he may not fulfill your desire. He's not obliged. He is independent. Even of his devotees, he's independent. But he agrees to become devotee. He becomes bound up by their love. Aham bhaktya paradhino nasvatantra. Lord Vishnu told Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni asked him, you please release me from this Sudarshan Chakra who is chasing me all over the universe. And Lord Vishnu said, you don't understand. You have offended my devotee. The devotees are more dear to me than my own heart. Sadavo hridayam mahyam sadanam hridayam tuham maranyate na janati naham tebhyo managaham. Devotees are in my heart and I am in their hearts. They don't know anything but me and I don't know anything but them. I'm not independent. Aham bhakta paradhino, I'm dependent upon my devotees. He is independent. He can do whatever he likes. Even with his devotees. Generally he takes a position of different. Sometimes he shows his devotees. That, just like Mother Yashoda. She's supposed to his mother. Mother means she can tie him up. Krishna doesn't agree. No, you won't tie me up. Bring as many ropes as you like. Go on, bring all the ropes in Vrindavan. I won't be tied up. Or, all the gopis are dancing with Krishna. And then Krishna just suddenly leaves. He himself is very fond of dancing, rasa dance. There's so many names. Rasa Kriya Paraya. One name of Krishna. Means he's very fond of dancing in Rasalila. He likes that more than any of his pastimes. His Rasalila is his favorite pastime. But then, suddenly, just go. Alright. Go peace. That's all for now. And then only with Radharani. And then Krishna says, oh, Radharani is becoming proud. Then again, boom. Alright. I'm gone. But, even though he shows he's independent, but again, Mother Yashoda is coming. All right. After all, she is my mother. Let her tie me up. Ah, Radharani. Krishna goes away, but then he can't stay very long. Again must come back. And again goes back to Rasalila. So Krishna is dependent upon his devotees. Here we see Garuda is binding up Bali Maharaj with ropes. Another kind of rope is described by the gopis in the Srimad Bhagavatam describing Krishna. That is pranayarasa. Pranaya rasanaya means the ropes of love. Krishna ties up his devotees with the ropes of love. So, actually, Bali Maharaj is being tied up by the ropes of Varuna. But actually, what's going on is that he's being tied up with the ropes of love by Lord Vishnu. So Garuda, understanding the purpose of Lord Vishnu, is tying up Bali Maharaj. He knows what is the purpose of Lord Vishnu. Therefore, he's tying up Bali Maharaj. This is not against the wish of Lord Vishnu. Therefore, it is not an offense. It is simply to enhance the amazing pastimes of Lord Vishnu. Here we just hear a story. From the materialist point of view, this may not be a very exciting story. You know, they write so many novels and detective stories and war stories. And what's so exciting about this? That someone's, you know, he made a mistake and then he was cheated and then he got tied up. I mean, I'm sure he could write much more exciting novels than this. It doesn't sound like a very... interesting plot. Doesn't sound like it's going to top the bestseller list in the fiction novels. Someone pretty dull plot, you could say. Just someone gets cheated and then gets tied up. But what's going on here? It's not just the activity, but it's the what is the exchange of feeling? What are the feelings of Bali Maharaj for Lord Vishnu? What are the feelings of Vishnu, Lord Vamandev, for Bali Maharaj? Therefore, then non-devotees, they can't appreciate this. Therefore, this Srimad Bhagavatam is a book of rasa. What is being described here is the exchange of feeling between Vamandev and Bali Maharaj. Therefore, this book, this Srimad Bhagavatam, it describes philosophy, describes the position of Lord Vishnu, describes the position of the devotee. But ultimately, Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for describing and tasting the nectarian mellows, the rasa, between Lord Krishna and his devotees. This book is to be read and appreciated by those who are rasik devotees. That is what is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Pibhata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Mohoraho Rasikapuribhaka. How does that verse begin? Nigamakalpatra Galitam Phalam Shukamakad Amrita Dravasangitam Pibhata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Mohoraho Rasikapuribhaka. The Srimad Bhagavatam is just like the nectarian juice which is flowing from the ripened fruit of the desire tree. Vedic knowledge, and has become even sweeter, having been relished and again distributed by Shukadeva Goswami, who is the topmost relisher of this Premras. He's also, Shukadeva Goswami is relishing Krishna consciousness in the topmost rasa, that's described by Unutajvala rasa. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give the topmost rasa, the conjugal rasa, that had not been given before. Anarpite charing chirak karunyavatirna kalo samavyatamana tajvala rasa swabhakti shriyam. That which had not been given for a long, long time, I mean since Lord Chaitanya came in the previous day of Lord Brahma, this had not been offered to human society. The topmost rasa of conjugal love, and this is being given. All the rasas, not only conjugal, all the rasas are all very, very sweet, and Shukadeva Goswami is distributing that. Therefore, drink it. Pibhatara, Pibhata Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is to be drunk through the ears. Shuteikshana Pantam. This is the path of seeing by hearing, drinking through the ears, the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam, Rasamala, Mohoraho Rasikam, Bhuvibhavaka. Those who are Rasik devotees, they can appreciate. So Rasik, that doesn't mean, there's some misunderstanding that Rasik devotee means someone who wraps a loincloth around him and simply rolls in the dust of Vrindavan and smokes some bidis on the side. But what is the ras? All the rasas are based on seva ras. That is the basis. That is described in detail by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita. How all the rasas, they are based on the rasa of service to Krishna. He gives examples, there are so many shlokas, how all the devotees of Krishna consider themselves to be servants of Lord Krishna. Even Nanda Maharaj is stating that we consider ourselves to be servants of Krishna. Even Radharani is stating that I simply want to be known as a maidservant. So Radharani, she is considered that she is the topmost devotee because she is the best worshipper. Anaradito Hari, because she worships, she is the best worshipper of Lord Vishnu. She has the mood of service to Lord Krishna in the most concentrated form. Therefore she is the topmost devotee. So all these stories, we see Dali Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruv Maharaj, they're all glorious and they're all tasting the nectar of the rasa of service to Lord Vishnu. Selfless service, ahaituki bhakti. No personal desire. Just see, Bali Maharaj, he conquered over the whole universe, but he had no personal desire. He was ready at an instant just to give everything to Lord Vishnu. Therefore, such a great devotee. And we can also enter into that rasa by hearing about this, and then in our own lives, mahajano yena gata sapantam, following in the footsteps of the great devotees, by taking up their mode of service. A Vaishnava is not a lazy person. Prabhupada often used to say this. People think that Vaishnavism is some excuse just to laze around. Just like someone came yesterday wanted to become a sadhu, wanted to join our temple. Because the material life is so miserable, why not be so we have to work hard for a living? Why not join an ashram? You get food, clothing, and a place to stay. Easy life. Become a sadhu. Sadhu ko khilao. Feed the sadhu. There's different mahavakyas. Tattvamasi, omkar, these are all considered mahavakyas, or the most important sayings. So for many sadhus, the mahavakya is sadhu ko khilao. Feed the sadhu. This is a mahavakya. So that's not a devotee. A devotee is not a lazy person. We see in Indian history, Indian culture, there are two prominent histories, two prominent narrations, Mahabharata and Ramayana. And in both of them, the hero is fighting for Krishna. That Arjuna, he is the central figure in the fight in Kurukshetra. And although Ramayana is called Ramayana, actually the more glory goes to Hanuman. He was, it's like Ram, he crossed the sea with a bridge. Of course that was a floating stone bridge, that wasn't an ordinary bridge. But Hanuman just jumped. So Ram made Hanuman greater than him. Ram had to walk over, but Hanuman jumped. So Hanuman himself, he told Sita, I can destroy all this. I can kill Ravana and all the Rakshasas by myself. I'll go and take you back to Ram. Sita said, no, I want Ram to come and get me. Otherwise Hanuman had so much power, he could do everything by himself. So a Vaishnava is not a lazy person. That Krishna told Arjuna, Alasya Dirga Sutra. Dirga Sutra. Symptom of the mode of ignorance, laziness, procrastination. It's not Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is Kshudram Ridya Dorabalyam Taklo Tishta Parantapa. Give up your weakness of heart. Get up, fight, do something for Krishna. That is Vaishnava. Not a lazy person. He's absorbed in activities for Krishna, and that is the great nectar that he tastes. We see in this material world, presently in the modern age, city life, people are very suffering from stress, and that stress is a cause of great distress. They say they get nervous breakdowns and depression, stress, they become mentally imbalanced. But for a devotee, this stress, this
is taking on so much service for Krishna. That is the cause of great transcendental bliss, the sacrifice that he takes. Just like Bali Maharaj, he sacrificed everything. We can't imagine what ecstasy Bali Maharaj is feeling as he's tied up with everyone blaming him and lamenting. What a useless person is Bali Maharaj. We thought he was a good guy, but he's just a traitor. They were chastising him and castigating him, and he was bound up like a beggar, like a villain. What ecstasy he was feeling in his heart. That Lord Vishnu is so kind and so merciful. He came and personally took away all my material attachments. So in the same way, a devotee of Krishna who just applies himself in service to Krishna and is ready, as Prabhupada said, to do the needful under any circumstances. He just wants to serve Krishna with no personal motive. It may appear that he's like an ordinary karmi who's in stress. He's overworked, he has no time, he appears to be like in the mode of passion. But such ecstasy Krishna blesses him with for engaging in that service. So we're hearing these stories from Srimad Bhagavatam about the great devotees, and we're simply desiring to follow in the footsteps of great devotees like Bali Maharaj and Garuda Dev. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? Divya Chakshu doesn't mean that Krishna gave him a pair of contact lenses, something like that. That means it's the same eyes, but Krishna gave him the ability to perceive with the same eyes. Actually, Arjuna always has Divya Chakshu because he's always seeing Krishna. So a devotee can be empowered by Krishna to see. Obviously, Bali Maharaj also had Divya Chakshu. Doesn't mean that Krishna removed one eye and put another one in. It's the same eye. Krishna wasn't performing eye camp operations on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Lion's Club. Lion's Club was there with a dispensing Nimbupani to fight. Srimad Bhagavatam.